It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, Cheeseheads, and welcome to the Cheeseman Podcast. This is Brendan, your host for the show. We're back. We're still here. We're doing this. We are doing this, even though every pod just feels like we're punching ourselves in the dick every time. Let's just keep going. Joining me to pick apart that disaster at Anfield, first up is Franco. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, we've had a day to get over it, haven't we? If we were doing this pod last night, it would have been hard work. I've watched kind of the replay of the goals and stuff. None of it feels any better. It was another bad performance. It's been a hard run to take. So, similar vibes to the last one. Would love the season to be over as soon as possible, please.
Yeah. It's. I think the players are there as well. Going by the effort out on the pitch, the players have... the word down tools is probably too strong, but... At the beach, waiting for the season to end. But yeah. Anyway, also joining, if he doesn't live at the beach, is Seb. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. I've spent the day at Drayton Manor theme park. Other theme parks are available. So I apologise in advance for any kind of burping or dry retching because I went on one ride and I felt sick ever since. So yeah. If Tottenham didn't make me feel sick yesterday, then Drayton Manor's done that to me today.
What was the lower age limit for the ride, Seb?
It was about five, I think.
I know. Was it teacups?
Yeah, no, I can't go on them. They're a nightmare. I think you had to be a meter 10 or something like that, I think. And I put my son on there, and it was one of them ones that's like a slidey. It slides up and down and it turns at the same time. And I was fine while I was on it. It was once I got off and I thought I was going to pass out, actually. And then the drive home. And yeah, I've not been in a good way.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Oh, well. I mean, that's a good impression to make in front of your kids. So well done.
Well, let's start, as we always do, with the lineup against Liverpool. When you saw the lineup, Franco, what did you think?
Well, weirdly, there was only one change, I think, wasn't it? Richarlison came off and Bentancur came in. But it was kind of a 4-3-3 as opposed to sort of a 4-2-3-1, wasn't it? Because neither Bissouma, Saar or Bentancur are particularly attacking, nor did they take on that role. It was kind of matching Liverpool's formation a bit. Yeah, why not? Like you said, we don't know what our best midfield formation is, so let's just try them all. Why not? I think that's kind of what it felt like a little bit. But I kind of understand it. Like I suppose Elliot is probably a little bit more attack minded in the Liverpool midfield, but Endo and McAllister are both sort of your typical standard centre midfielders, aren't they? So we were kind of trying to match that a bit, I suppose. Maybe have one less man up front. But, you know, when you looked at how we lined up, those front three stayed very far forward. So it was obviously a slight change, I don't know. But like I said, I don't really care anymore. It's what this season over. So I was happy with whatever formation we put out. We didn't really have much of an option at left back with Royal, but, you know, he obviously got exposed in the last game. So I wasn't particularly looking forward to him playing in this one either. But what else do you do, really?
And Seb, that start, I mean, within 8 minutes, Liverpool hit the bar with that Salah one, which I don't know if he meant it or if it was a cross, but it was a beautiful hit with the outside of the boot. And Romero cleared off the line. So that's like within 8 minutes, you're caught talking two gilt-edged chances. It just seemed like that midfield wasn't protecting us at all. Bearing in mind that we do have a makeshift defence with Royal coming in, they were just half-assed challenges. They were wouldn't say jumping out of challenges, but weren't challenging as robustly as they were at the start of the season. It was worrying signs at the beginning.
Yeah, there's a lethargy that's going through the whole team, I think, but probably barring Romero. I can't sit here and say that anyone kind of impressed in, certainly in those first 15, 20 minutes. It was one-way traffic under the cosh, and yeah, it was only one thing was going to happen, really, with regards to the lineup and everything. As Franco said, who knows now? You know, we kind of, none of us can sit here and kind of say that we would have done anything different. And as I said on previous pod, I know we'll get into later in the game, but those that come on 60 minutes seem to impress. Those that start are bloody awful. And so next game, I'm sure the ones that have come on and done okay, they'll probably start. They'll be awful. And we just go round and round the loop again. It's pretty bad. But yeah, Liverpool, you know, they're turning every home match certainly into an occasion, aren't they? Although I did hear that Jurgen Klopp is only one yellow card away from receiving a ban. And I would love it. I would love it if he got a yellow card in the next game and wasn't able to attend his last game at Anfield. That'd just be brilliant.
Is it his last game, Seb? They didn't mention it at all on the TV.
I know, you'd never know. You'd never know.
Let's look at the goals, Franco. The Salah header. Again, we can look at Emerson. He doesn't really look like he knew what he was doing. He didn't know that Salah was coming in behind. It was just really easy.
No, that's exactly it. Yeah, he looks once and then leaves it like 2-3 seconds, and then has the audacity to try and step up and play offside, not knowing where the person he's trying to catch offside is, or it didn't even really look like, you know, anybody else was going to do the same thing. He just decides, right, I'm going to try and step up, and then sticks his arm up, trying to claim offside. He's got absolutely no idea. It's just ridiculous. Vicario, a little bit disappointed. All right, it was very close range. It was, you know, it wasn't the most powerful header, but it was a free header, wasn't it? He could put it anywhere he wanted. But Vic kind of got his arm to it. Felt like he could have saved it, but he didn't. And yeah, just an easy goal to concede. But you're right, there was issues there because they were already starting to get in behind. Like you say, that chance that Elliot had with Romero clearing it off the line. It kind of felt a little bit like that. I mean, I think we started off a bit brighter than we have done in previous games, but that's not particularly difficult. And I think, you know, we looked a little bit more up for it. But for all the sort of passing through the midfield and stuff like that, again, we created very little. And that was sort of the start of Liverpool just getting beyond us. I think they had something like 25 shots in the end. It was just far too easy for them to create those opportunities and to get in behind us. And that was, yeah, that was sort of the start of the floodgates opening.
It's interesting that, like, looking at the not the heat map, but the sort of the momentum swings of the game, like those Opta stats and stuff. You're right. Like the first 5 minutes, we had a slightly more attacking intent than they did up until they was. Seb, why do you think that is? Why do you think we start off like after 5 minutes we do well, but then some, like, it just completely drops? Is it confidence? Is it fitness? Is it belief? Why do you think that we can't maintain a standard of performance sufficient to stay in a game in the last 6 months?
That's a good question. I don't think we ever truly get going. The amount of times that we concede the first goal, and it's like a bit of a hammer blow. Even when we're dominating possession stats and all that type of thing at the start of game, I never really feel like we are the better team. I never feel like it, you know, when we concede that first goal, that it hasn't been coming, or that, you know, we're unlucky to be behind or anything like that. You look back, particularly obviously over the last four games, but going back further than that, we don't start the game well and haven't done really since the turn of the year. So I feel like it's really hard within a half to start poorly and then switch it on. And we've seen, obviously, with quite a few games, particularly at home, when we've been behind at half time, that is the time that you can then regroup and come out fighting. And we have done that quite a lot. But I don't know what it is, but I don't feel like we start particularly well. And like I say, you know, this kind of runs all the way through the game and not just the start. But for me, a lot of the... when I keep seeing a statistic that says that we're having a lot of possession of the ball and yet we're behind on shots, we're behind on XG and all the other metrics, then for me, it comes down to decision-making. And if you're having a lot of the ball and you're not doing anything with it, you're making consistently making the wrong decisions. Mm-hmm. And yesterday, again, I'll say that there's something else with that as well, which we'll come on to. So A, I think it's making the wrong decisions. And B, very simply, it's that when we get the ball up to the final third, we it kind of aligns with what I've said. We are making the wrong decisions and losing the ball. Son mm-hmm. cannot get hold of the ball. Again, yesterday, Kulusevski could not keep hold of the ball. I thought Johnson was okay. But we it just keeps coming back at us. And we're all debating, as we did at the start of this pod, what the best midfield is. But as I think has been proven, it doesn't really matter who's in the midfield, because we're not picking up the ball in the midfield. The defenders of the other team are picking that ball off so easily, and we are just being played on the turn every time. And for a supposed attacking team that we are, that for me is our biggest problem. We are, the opposition is then bisecting our midfield easily because we're too far forward, and we're just being picked off. And that's what it looked like to me, is what it's looked like for weeks, is we are, as I've said, we don't have to play well to get beaten because we are just being picked off. It's pretty simple stuff to play against us.
Well, Frank, that the
question, Ben, sorry.
I didn't even know what the fucking question was at this stage, man. But Franco, it raises the point about how open we are. Mm. And do you think that we've been like this all season? Just that those first 10 games, Vicario was a bit more on form and was dealing with things, and now he's not? Or are the chances that we're conceding now just far bigger than they were back then? Because the difference is huge. That the XG against Liverpool was 3.22, our third worst of the season. I think obviously we conceded four. Harvey Elliott's one was a worldie, but that's sort of cancelled out by Salah somehow missing an open goal when it was 4-2.
Yeah,
I think 4-1. The second goal, for example, was a perfect example. Like, it was so easy for Robertson to go in there, just because there was no challenge, there was no awareness, no desire, no willingness to stay in it. There was just no confidence, no belief in the defence at that stage.
Yeah, well, like I said, after they scored their goal, I don't think we had a shot for the rest of the half. It was all Liverpool, pretty much. And a few of their chances came from us trying to pass it out. I know Ange said after the match that he was happy with some of the play, that, you know, this is how we wanted to play. And some of it was good, but it didn't result in anything. Like, one time we played some really good passes to get it out. Saar got it, played a bad touch. I think he got tackled, and that either led to that Salah hitting the crossbar, or Elliot, I can't remember which one. So, you know what I mean? We did that a few times where we were trying to play it out, getting caught in the middle. I think Liverpool far more tackles than us. Their midfield worked a lot harder, and they just seemed about it again a lot more than we did. I don't necessarily think we're more open. I think we've played a load of teams. We knew this run was going to be hard, but when we normally say that, we normally get one or two results, or one doesn't go anywhere near as bad as we thought it would. These results have all been terrible, and we've shipped a lot of goals in the last few games. So it's also a case that we're coming up against good teams. You know, I mean, we knew this run was going to be difficult, but you know, it's just how it's happened. You know what I mean? So many goals unanswered. And then we, you know, this one we got back into it. Arsenal, we got back into it, but it's just not been good enough. You can't go down that many goals against top quality teams that are at the top of the table and expect to get anything out of it. It's just, again, the midfield wasn't working. I think Seb's right. Like, when they pushed forward and we lost the ball, they didn't get back into spaces to contain Liverpool, so Liverpool could break, and then we were sort of chasing after the play. Then the ball, if it got put back out to Liverpool's midfield, our midfielder then got back and were too deep, and you saw that some of the chances they had on the edge of the box. It's just, we weren't getting tight to their players, and you look at how Liverpool press and how they sense, like, where the ball is better than Arsenal. I know we said the other week Arsenal's press was really good, but Liverpool's is almost better. Like, they sort of force you into the ball going in a certain direction. Then you've got three people closing down all of the passing angles, making it really difficult for us to get out. And let's be honest, our defence, they're not brilliant. They're still not, even after this year of sort of being forced to get the ball out and pass it on the floor, they're still not brilliant. They're still susceptible. And a really good pressing team like Liverpool just exposed that. So I think there's a multitude of reasons. Liverpool are a better team than us in that sense. They're, you know, they've had years under Klopp to learn how to play this way. And we just looked a bit naive against them. But yeah, that first half was just a horrible watch.
You were pointing out there about this run. So yeah, four defeats in a row, our worst run since 2004. Who was manager then? Was it Santini? But you also, you're right, this sequence of games, which have been rearranged due to European football, etc. So if you look at the same games last season, obviously last season was a dog shit season also. But we got 1 point from these four games last season, which was a draw at Chelsea, which we didn't deserve because of Romero fouling Cucurella for his header at the end. So we do have to have a sort of a measure of perspective. Yeah. It's not great. It's not enjoyable. Yeah. But we are still in there. We do beat Burnley and Sheffield United, we do get fifth. Mm. So we have to sort of see that as a successful end to the season. At halftime, said there was the row between Romero and Emerson. What did you make of that? Ange afterwards said he was happy to see that they cared. Or does it show a bit of disharmony in the ranks? Or is it genuinely that we do have players that care and they're frustrated at the situation we were in?
Yeah, I think that, and I'm not just sweeping it under the carpet. That is genuinely what I think. Look, if it comes to blows, that's a bit of an issue. But yeah, I'm with Ange on it. It's because they care. I completely believe that. Whatever you think of Emerson Royale, and look, he's not a left back. I think we all know that. It's very obvious if you kind of follow his socials and things like that, that he wants to do his best. He wants to be the best footballer he can be at personal cost and everything else. And obviously, I don't think anyone doubts Romero's kind of will to win. So yeah, I have no problem with that at all. Didn't see an issue there. I wish that someone had grabbed Kulusevski, actually, to be honest, and asked what he was doing on that second goal, because if you look at that back, he's just lazy. It's just pure laziness. Robinson makes that run. Mm. And then makes it again. He had a number of opportunities, Kulusevski, to follow his man and didn't. And that type of thing, that really bugs me. And when we use phrases like on the beach or whatever, like you did at the start, that's the meaning of it. You're not switched on. Not, you know, we say to our boys like about being on your toes, like just being aware. Mm. And just that's switching off. It's lazy, switched off, not bothered. Yeah, and he's, maybe we can talk a little bit later about Kulusevski, because for me, I think he's one that, in terms of money, in terms of trying to maybe get some money in before we do any inward dealings, then he's one that I think Ange might be looking at, because I can't quite see where he fits at the moment. Yeah, I'm not, he just doesn't do what I think Ange wants his wingers to do. And people will tell me that he's twice the player that Johnson is, but I don't think I agree with that in terms of how Ange wants to play football and how responsible he wants his players to be. Kulusevski's a bit of a enigma, if you like, because he's obviously very talented, but I don't feel like he ever carries out the orders very well. And he's been off the boil for months. So I don't know what you guys think. But yeah, so I've kind of digressed a little bit there, but with regards to half-time thing, and no issue with that at all. It's a shame that they didn't come out fired up for the second half, though.
No, I think I agree with Kulu. It's difficult because the things that you saw him, like his delivery and some of his skills when he first joined, have just completely evaporated. We haven't seen that for a while. When was the last time you put a decent ball in? When was the last time he had a decent shot or dared to take a shot, more to the point? Yeah. But also, he did used to put in a defensive shift, and you're right. At the weekend, the second goal, he is just ball watching, just sort of covering space in the middle. And, you know, Robinson is his man. He's their left back. So he should be watching him and making sure he doesn't get in. But he lets him go and then doesn't even try and get in with the action. He's just standing on the edge of the box. And now I don't know whether this is partly to do with the fact that, you know, those forward players were obviously told to stay quite high up, and he was sort of caught in two minds at that point. But everybody for that second goal is ball watching, and they're a yard or two off the pace. They're just reactive rather than proactive. Nobody's going, oh, look, this guy's going to make a run. They're just waiting for that run to be made. The ball gets played, and then it's too late. To a man, like, it's just, you know, just incompetent from the team. We just need this summer to come as quickly as possible. These players need to get their heads back together, because it does feel like yeah, it's just only going to go one way from here. We've got two games that we need to win by the end of the season. We just need to do that. And then obviously a big game against Man City, which who knows what we want to get out of that result.
Well, let's just wrap up the game. Obviously, Gakpo's header, the little spat with Romero and Emerson clearly didn't work with Emerson because he was a bit sort of flat-footed with the, he could have cleared his lines when under pressure from, I think it was McAllister that robbed it off him in the end for the cross for the Gakpo header.
There was no help though. There was no one anywhere near him. He could have done
better. Boot it out then. Boot it out. Like sense the danger. Boot it out. Like clear your lines. Just then, if there's someone to pass to, and you're surrounded by three players, just fucking clear it. He's not got the technical ability to get it past two players. If you're under pressure, just fucking boot it out.
I agree with you, but someone should have been there with him. Someone should have been there. There was no one within 15, 20 yards of him to do anything to. Not only that, to help him, should he lose the ball, there should be some cover there. I don't know
about that, Seb. Because look, the ball gets played up to Salah, doesn't it? And he's challenging with Emerson. Emerson wins it, but then it almost seems complacent to me. He thinks, right, I'm stronger than Salah, so I don't need to do anything with it. It's Elliot that takes the ball off him. Elliot just runs and nips it off him. It's complacent, if anything. And I don't think he needs a pass because you're right. Just get rid of it, Bren, isn't it? Like, you just won it off Salah. You want to get out of the danger area. Get rid. Now, I agree, Seb. If he's been told in those situations you've got to try and find a pass on the floor nearby, then you're right. It doesn't have a huge amount of options. But I just think, again, common sense in those situations. Win the ball, get rid of it.
Mm. And that's just it. Do the players have a license to make those decisions? It does look like we kind of restricting, and this obviously comes from the manager. We'll get on to manager towards the end, but it does look like they're almost scared to deviate. Like Vicario, for example, like it wasn't working playing out. Like you were saying, there were interceptions. Liverpool's press was really, really high. If we'd have just played it long a few times, and City do that, Edison does that. We can do it, but he just, and again, maybe he's under instruction. Maybe he doesn't have that license to make those decisions, but it just seems like sometimes the players do need to be more, like I said, common sense. Be aware of the situation around you. Have some spatial awareness and just be like, look, this is the best option here. I'm not deviating from what the manager's telling me. I'm just dealing with this current situation right now. Anyway, we did bring on Rishi, though. And if there's any green shoots from this game, Franco, it is that Rishi brought some urgency. He did change the game. And Liverpool were 4-0 up by that time. But and so maybe there's a question that they took their foot off the gas. But it did up our urgency. It wasn't just him. His presence led to the other players actually sort of getting a bit more energetic. And then he brings that to the Brazilian national team as well. He leads the press from the front. But he took his goal well. I thought it was a good move. And he did. And you know what's going to happen now. He's going to start the next game and be shit. but it was at least we had something to cheer during that game.
Yeah, well, he was involved in the goals, wasn't he? And I think just before his goal, there was obviously that one where he was running the line quite well, I thought. He was obviously miles offside for that chance beforehand where he put it across the sun. But he was running the line well. Johnson just sort of articulates that he's going to make a run, starts it, and the ball gets played down the line. He showed his pace for once. And, you know, the ball across to Richarlison was good. He was completely unmarked, but it was a deft little finish. Sort of slice shot, wasn't it, into the bottom corner. So, yeah, was quite happy with that. And then, obviously, he was involved in the next one. He got an assist for it, but kind of started that move off as well, I think. So, yeah, like he did provide something, even if it was just a bit of impetus up front into the game. But the issue is that, yeah, Liverpool were 4-0 up at that point after that absolute, yeah, stonker of a goal from Elliot, which I do think Saar could have tried to get his head on, if I'm honest. He kind of turns away from it. He ducks and turns his head away from it. Wasn't happy with that at all. Great finish, though, top corner. They're plain sailing by then. It's a bit like, you know, Arsenal when they're 3-0 up. They're plain sailing. And I think the fact that we sort of got back into it made them sort of realise that they need to step it up again. And then they did nearly have other chances. But the game was done by then. So it's difficult to sort of know how excited to get about a comeback, whether it shows any intent, whether it shows anything. But I thought the changes that he made, as Seb sort of alluded to earlier, the subs come on and do quite well. You know, Lo Celso added a bit of something. I thought that Skip was pretty good down that left-hand side as well. To be honest, he got involved in the play and he was involved in that second goal as well. So frustrating is all I'd say. But yeah, good to see that, you know, he's at least sort of adding something to the attacking lineup.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
He loves a goal at Anfield as well. He got one last season when it looked like we got the draw, and Lucas decided to be Lucas. Seb, would you stick with Richarlison up front and in the next game against Burnley? The next one, isn't it? Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd stick with Richarlison for next season as well. Read a lot about that. He might be on his way out, and if we get a big bid and all this type of stuff, but I think we look a million times better with him. As I said in the previous pod, I don't want Son leading the line. I don't think he can do it. It's not. I know we had a bit of a debate on Patreon yesterday about Son, and I kind of put a cat amongst the pigeons about if a big offer came in the summer, maybe we should look at selling him. And I am going to stick with it because I don't think it's a debate that will be had, because I don't think it will happen. I don't think it's a question that the board need to think about. But we look so much better with Richarlison in the team. He's physical. He unsettles defences. Son is able to play in his better position. One thing I would say, I was thinking about this last night, and I'm not making excuses for Ange. I think there's a lot that he has to get right. But for me, probably aside from the set pieces, the biggest issue is our attack, even more than the defence for me. I still maintain that the defence would be having less to do if the attack was better. As I said earlier in the pod, we can't make it stick up front. And when we do, it obviously relieves any pressure that we might be feeling at the back. He has been very unlucky, Ange, in my opinion, with the injuries this season, and obviously with Son being away temporarily. I'm sure that the plan was to have a fully fit Richie up front and a fully fit Son on the left, and probably Johnson on the right, and then, you know, hopefully, or even Kulusevski, and then destroying teams from 60 minutes on. He said it again last night about how his football, one of the key elements of that is coming on strong in games at the end. And we did see that at points in the season. You can even say, I mean, I agree with you that the games are gone by the time we come back, but that we do came on strong against Arsenal, came on strong against Liverpool. And obviously with the injury to Werner, and the injury to Richarlison, you are massively tinkering with, I think, his original plan. I don't know what you guys think, but I think that's important. I think if he had six fully fit attackers to kind of rotate, which was or five even, then it might be sticking a little bit better. So we have no alternative to Richarlison in the squad, in my opinion.
No.
Yeah, for me, I think our biggest issue is midfield. It's what connects it all. And because if the midfield is ticking, then it does. We do progress the ball. We're not like Bentancourt, Sarr, Bissouma. They've all just they've completely lost any confidence, any technical ability. It just looks really, really bad. So for me, the midfield is where we need to focus on. I agree with you that we should stick with Rishi. Or if the thing is, we can upgrade Rishi as well. If we get a big wedge from Saudi for him, we could find someone to do a similar job. He's not world class. He looks it because Sonny's so bad at holding the ball up, and then when he comes on, it does change things. It does give us a chance to sort of move up the pitch because he can hold the ball that bit longer. But that midfield, like, we know that Newcastle need to sell. Bruno Guimarães has $100 million buyout clause. Do we?
sorry, Bren, have you forgotten who you support for a minute? We're talking about Spurs.
He's not a PSG fan.
Yeah, we've got Daniel Levy as our chairman, mate. Do you mean he's going to drop in 100 G's on no chance on Bruno? And I don't think they'd want to sell him either, to be honest. I might be wrong, but they'd probably get rid of the Italian who hasn't been able to play for them, wouldn't they?
They're not going to get money for him, though. He's going to buy him.
I think his ban will run out. His ban must run out fairly soon, Tonali. So I don't know. I might be wrong. But look, it's... I don't know what the answer is in terms of midfield. I do like Conor Gallagher, and I know Chelsea have got to sell as well, but I think he would probably be last on the list of people they wanted to sell as well. But we just need to figure out exactly who needs to leave as well. I feel like we're in deja vu land. Haven't we been saying this for two seasons, that we need to get rid of these players that we can't get rid of? Mm. Now, this week we had reports that Lo Celso and Dragosin wanted to leave. I mean, Dragosin's agent obviously doesn't want him to stay anywhere for too long. He wants those transfer fee percentages. But, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised if he was a bit upset at the fact that he could have gone to, you know, Bayern Munich, and instead he sat on the bench at Spurs twiddling his thumbs. And, yeah, you know, Lo Celso never played. We've got loads of fringe players that you think, yeah, that they probably need to be moved on. We're not going to get a huge amount of money for them. But, you know, Ange sort of alluded to it, I think, in the post-match or the pre-match presser, an interview I saw with him this week anyway. And he said that, you know, we need to make changes. The one thing I'll say about Ange again, which stands in his stead, is that, you know, things started to go, you know, wrong at an earlier stage in the season. And I think if that was Conte or Jose, they would have played the player's card at that point. They would have played the, well, this is all I've got to deal with. And he hasn't done that. He's kind of just stuck with it. He said that these players need to learn and whatever. And now we're getting to the final few games of the season. He's starting to say, yeah, some of these players need to leave and I need to get some different ones in. And I think that's, you know, that says more about the man than anything else. You know, he's just accepted the results that we've had. He's kind of not fully blamed the players, but like we've said in the last few pods, I think they need to take some of the responsibility for the performances. And I'm sure he's got an idea about who needs to leave and who he wants to bring in the summer. And I'm not going to sort of look around the world at names of players we can get in. In terms of Richarlison, I think we could do a lot worse, and I'm not sure we could do a huge amount better. That's kind of where I look at the moment. Do you know what I mean? You may say he's not world class, but he's got 11 goals this season from 18 starts. That's not a bad return. When he's on form, he actually looks like a decent centre forward, and he's, you know, got years of experience in the Prem now. So I think we're just a little bit accustomed to getting like 30 goals off Harry Kane. Again, we seem to be forgetting that when we talk about where we are now.
We need another striker, don't we? But I don't think we need a striker instead of Richarlison. We need a striker as well as Richarlison. That's the I agree. I'm with you, Franco. I like Richie a lot, and I think we've looked better across the entire season when he's been on the pitch this season. I think he's found a new lease of life under Ange, and obviously after we're hearing about some of the problems that he had and things like that, he's been unlucky with injury. If he can stay fit, and you know, we are going to be in an extra competition next season, undoubtedly. We need the likes of Richie at the club. I think you're silly, because even if you got, let's say, silly money for him, let's say 60 million, you've got to spend 60 million then on a replacement, possibly two. So you because we need another striker. And you're taking that huge punt. For me, he's a banker, Richie. But you top that up with someone else who you think can come in, maybe a slightly younger player, and come in and you know, what? Maybe like, take his place, or
like Valise, you mean? Don't forget about him.
I think I'd want someone a little bit more experienced than that. I think he'll go on another loan, wouldn't he? But I mean, we've been linked with is it Jimenez of Feyenoord. That's someone who I could see working. Obviously, yeah. There's a lot of links with Ivan Toney. I can't really see that. I might be wrong, but yeah, I think they'll be looking around Europe for, let's say, maybe a 23, 24 year old, someone who's done it for a couple of seasons, relatively decent level, someone with experience, probably European football in terms of, you know, European competition. And yeah, I think we need someone, but I wouldn't be wanting to get rid of Richie at all.
I'll just put it out there, because with the chat with Tim Bickery as well, he was saying he was surprised that we bought him. I mean, he was sort of long term planning, because had we gone in for him when Kane had left, then the asking price had been a lot more. So it was, it was planning ahead, I guess, when we signed him. And I'm a huge fan as well. Just
it was opportunistic as well, though, wasn't it? It was just looking at the fact that we could probably get him a bit cheaper than you would probably get a Brazilian striker that had scored that many goals in the Prem, you know, any other time. We just thought, yeah, that's good. But that's kind of how Levy works, isn't it? And that's the frustration. I think this summer we just need to be a bit less looking for those opportunities where you can get some value, as he calls it, basically get a cut price option because a you know a team's struggling and they need to get rid of a player. I think we should just be identifying players that we think perfectly fit the situation and the position that we need them to be in. Again, Veliz is another disappointment because we've got some 19, 20 year old kid. He's played a few times, gone on loan to Seville. I don't think he's even started. Stats now, 4 appearances off the bench, 30 minutes of football. It's just what an absolute waste of time that is. So there's still things about this club which frustrate the hell out of me. I know some of our loan players have had a decent time. The boys that have gone to Plymouth have played plenty of football. But there's just so much about this club at the moment that just still frustrates me. And if we don't...
It's not the club's fault, though, Franco, is it? It's not Spurs' fault that he can't get in the team at Sevilla, surely.
Well, don't loan him to Sevilla.
Why do we buy him?
No, don't loan him to Sevilla. That's the argument, isn't it? You loan him to a club where he's going to go. And there is I know other players have had it where they've had minimum appearance clauses, which means that they have to play a certain amount of times in a season. So we should be looking at those things, not just loaning players out to places where they're not going to get games.
Mm. No, I agree with that. I don't know how much. Yeah, if Sevilla haven't had a particularly great season, have they? So whether they've got a manager under pressure who maybe doesn't want to play a 20-year-old or whatever. I agree. It'd be nicer to see him get more game time, but I would imagine that he will be. I imagine another loan is probably where.
Yeah, but all I'd say is you look at these situations, and if you go to a club like Sevilla and they're like, "Yeah, we need like somebody to be there just in case," then you'd be like, "That's not the right move for this guy right now." If you look at a club that's lower down, they're like, "Yeah, we need a second choice striker who's ready to go." And we think he's going to be the man. You'd be like, yeah, perfect. Doesn't have to start every game, but he's there whenever. And that's not been the case. So, yeah, I think we need to do better in terms of our loans.
Where are we? Anyway, we spoke about this already with Ange, because I'm sure at Celtic, because he's got better players at Spurs than he did at Celtic. And is he underestimating the Premier League? Is that what the issue is? And some of the players don't buy into it? Because the performance levels are worrying. We've got Burnley next. I don't even think that's a banker. I don't think that we're guaranteed. We're in such poor form, so low in confidence, that Burnley at home, which you would normally expect us to get a result from, it's still up in the air. Are you worried about Ange? Is he the right man? Is it too early to tell?
Opinions shouldn't have changed in 3 days, Brett. Go on, Seb. Has your opinion changed?
No. I said before, back him to the hilt would be what I want to do. I had a conversation on a Spurs chat today. I seem to be annoying a few people. But someone said that they hoped the atmosphere on Saturday was hostile. And I took real umbrage to that. That's absolutely ridiculous. They said
hostile towards the manager and the club.
The manager and the chairman. Yeah, that's it. Apparently, Van de Ven was our second choice. It got stupid. It got really stupid. For me, we are. Look, I don't like the stats that do the comparison. I don't like the one that's been doing the rounds today in terms of Ange's first 35 games compared to Klopp's and compared to Arteta's, because we're every club is a different kettle of fish, you know, and you can't, it's like comparing apples and oranges for me. So I'm just happy that we will be looking at European football, hopefully finish fifth, but I think there's still work to do, although United are capitulating as we speak. So that's always handy. I'm behind him. My thing with him is, and maybe I'm a bit of a sucker, but he's very forthright in his views. I can't imagine that he's different like that in the boardroom or around the training ground or anything else. So he knows exactly what he wants. And for people to say, it's not working, we've been found out, all this type of thing, I think it's absolute bollocks, to be honest. I think the players have been found out. Slightly, those that are incapable, number one, of doing what he wants. But I don't think there's many of them. I think there's a lot to do with fitness, loss of form, AFCON, and all these things that we've covered before. But I do believe historically, I think, Bren, you probably know a bit more about this than me, but he's had quite a significant turnaround of staff and players in his second season. Mm. I think I'm right in saying that, particularly at Celtic, there was big changes that come in. So he, for me, susses people out. I think that I'm not trying to make excuses for him, but I think giving players enough rope to hang themselves with is probably a bit too strong, but he is wanting to see what you can do. And there's certainly things that I've seen, maybe with Bentancur, maybe with Kulusevski, where I'm thinking, are you playing him to see if he's going to dig himself out of this rut that he's in, or whether he's got the balls and the desire to do it? And then I think he'll be answering a lot of questions for himself, Ange. And then in the summer, it's a case of, for me, if he's as forthright in his views in terms of what he wants, he's going to be as forthright in his views with Daniel Levy and the scouting staff as to these are the players that I want. These are the players that I can believe will fulfil what I need to see on the pitch. So I think it's going to be a big summer, and I think there will be quite a significant turnaround. If history is anything to go by, I'd expect, you know, 6, 7, 8 players to be out the door, and that's not just the ones that are on loan at the moment. I think there could be some significant turnaround. I'm quite excited by it. But yeah, to answer the original question, we need to get behind him and fully back a manager that has honestly, I know the points don't look as different or whatever, but we can't generate it and this ill feeling at the club. It's one of the most stupid things that I've seen to make it a hostile atmosphere. The place was toxic this time last year. It hasn't been at stages this season. It's been the complete polar opposite of that. Don't let it descend into some toxic, horrible place to be again at the very end of the season, because it won't change over the summer. If you're not happy with the transfer business or any of that, it will carry on. Make it a good place. There's still 2 home games to play. Let's make it a half decent place. Back the players, back the manager, and see what happens.
Yeah, I think social media is an issue, because you know there's loads of accounts that are just waiting for those bad times, that dip in form, that bad run to happen, so that they can get out there and spread their narrative. And there's a lot of Spurs fans who just seem to only really be Spurs fans so that they can, you know, use it as something to sort of, I don't know, share their unhappiness, spread their unhappiness about football or whatever. So, you know, all that's going on at the moment. But look, the one thing I'll say about Ange is that he doesn't look like a man under pressure. He looks like a man that's pretty pissed off with the way things are going at the moment. But, yeah, you know, you look at him, he's confident. He says he knows what he needs to sort out, et cetera, et cetera. I don't see a man that's like wilting under the pressure. I really don't. I think if anything, we're a little bit patronising towards him, because, you know, you get all the comments now about he's only won it in Mickey Mouse leagues and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, football is football. And going back to something you sort of said earlier about the quality of the teams we're playing, he's probably not playing in a league where managers look at teams they're playing every week and come up with a sort of a game plan to try and stifle them. He's probably not encountered that quite as often. He still would have come up against it, but maybe not to quite such a high level, because in the Premier League these days, every single manager that's brought in is a top quality manager. There's very few managers that go out there and don't have a game plan set for each match. So you've got to deal with that. And obviously the quality of the players, like the margins at the top end are really finite, and he needs to just sort of get players in positions that are going to do the job that he needs them to do, and also then, you know, keep that motivation up and keep the players performing at a certain level. And it does feel this year that's maybe something he hasn't managed to do. Whether he knows how to, that's something we're going to have to find out, isn't it? But you can either be pessimistic and think, no, it's all over, or you can go into next season with a bit of optimism and say, yeah, he's going to turn this around and he knows what he's going to do. I'd much rather go into it with a bit of optimism than be a neg. What's the point?
Do you think Nuno start next season? So it's both of you. Sorry, Brent, to interrupt. Do you think if he has a Nuno-type start next season that he's out the door?
What do you mean, manager of the month? Nuno got manager of the month.
I mean, what was it? Play 10, won 5, lost 5 as a for instance. I think that's what it was.
Win one, lose one, wasn't it? Well, win a few, then win one, lose one. Yeah.
to? Do you think we get to October, let's say, and we are, you know, not seeing improvement from where we've been the last 6 months, and we're mid-table because that's where we are now? I think we've got a worse, we've lost more games than we've won since November. So is that, if that carries on, is he under pressure, or are you backing him and continuing to back him?
I'll back him for the season. I said that. I think he deserves two seasons. It's not like he's trying to pull the club apart like the previous manager. So, yeah, you've got to just have a bit of faith behind him and see what you can do.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'll back him for the season. Unless we get to Christmas and we're in the bottom three. But then, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I think there's going to be enough. We'll have enough activity in the transfer window. Sometimes, I don't know if Maddison needs to have surgery or what, but something has to happen there. He's clearly not right. Bentancur, there's a big question mark over him. Will a full pre-season, will that get him up to the level that we know he can reach? So there's a lot of questions from this summer, but I'm excited for it. And wants to be here as well. That's the other thing. He says us. He's those sort of linguistic elements are important. Whereas Conte was always like the club, he would always separate himself from the club. Ange is far more encompassing. He's much more of a, he is the right kind of person to take us through. And the football matters, of course. And that's what we were saying before as well. But certainly the personality is important, and because they kind of go together. It's strange to be in such a funk right now with the players. It's odd to see them looking a bit lost out there, certainly the midfield. Every game it changes the midfield, but we'll see this season out. Hopefully finish top five, even top six if Man City win the FA Cup. I think top six still gets Europa. So we go again, and he deserves another season. We can't keep being this one and a half season club with managers. We've got to give them time.
Yeah, no, agreed. All right, Bren, let me just quickly mention football prizes. Still the Keane and Defoe prize. Wow, shows you how many pods have been doing. I feel this is the third time we've done this. That ends on Wednesday, the 8th of May at 7:30 p.m. If you get in there now, there's an extra May Day discount as well, 20% off your ticket price. So that's down to £3.16 for your ticket. Obviously, with the code CR10, you get another 10% discount on top of that. Over half the tickets are sold, so there's not too many left. So get in there for a great prize. Lots of instant wins still. So get involved there, footballprizes.co.uk.
Brilliant. Seb, thanks for joining, mate.
No problem. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. And I'm going off for a lie down.
Okay, cheers for joining, man.
Yeah, no worries. We'll obviously be back next weekend after the Burnley result. We've got a few people coming over, a few cheeseheads to meet up with beforehand. Looking forward to it. Come on, you Spurs.
Yeah, and thanks for sticking with us for this long. It's these defeat pods are becoming far too frequent. I just love a bloody win against Burnley. And we will beat Burnley. We'll get things back on track. It's going to be a great atmosphere at the lane. Let's keep the faith, Spurs fans. And as ever, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
At least we're not united. Come on, you Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.